Today's gospel is very practical in that it gives us practical instructions on what to do when someone commits an offense against us. So when someone has hurt me or offended me, Jesus does not say to go put it on Facebook or to tell everybody else about what happened, but rather Jesus says, go to that person directly. Tell them what they did and seek reconciliation directly with that person. So we might ask the question, well, why must we do this? Why must we go to the person? If they're the ones at fault, if they did something wrong, then why do I need to be responsible to them? If I was the one who was hurt, don't I have the right to respond to it in whatever way that I want? Can't I just write them off if I want to do that, or tell whoever I want to tell about it? So part of the newness of the gospel, and we get this sense as we read the gospels, is that Jesus very consistently showed that every human person has dignity. And this includes the most vulnerable and weak, the sick, the child, the person possessed with a demon, but also the sinner too, that the sinner has dignity. And so even the sinner, and of course I'm a sinner, and you're a sinner, so even the sinner must be shown the dignity that they have as a son or daughter of God. And so we don't have the right to ruin the reputation of someone by making their sins public. We just don't have the right to do that. Going to the person who's offended me directly is a sign of respect and compassion for that person, even if they didn't show respect and compassion towards me. Earlier today, I was at a wedding at Holy Family, and it was beautiful to hear the bride and the groom say their wedding vows to each other. And so the groom said, I, James, take you, Amber, to be my wife. I promise to be faithful to you in good times and in bad, in sickness and in health, to love and to honor you all the days of my life. And then the bride said that back to the bridegroom. But that's an unconditional promise that they're making. A conditional promise would sound something like this. I, James, take you, Amber, to be my wife. I promise to be faithful to you as long as you're faithful to me. I promise to love you as long as you love me. And so even this, I mean, this is part of the shocking demand of love that Jesus places upon us. So we see it in marriage, but he also tells us that we have to love one another. And that means unconditionally. And so that means I don't just have to respect this person as long as they respect me. But instead, I must show respect and compassion and concern for this person, even if they haven't shown me respect, compassion, and concern. And it's important that we live this way because this is what Jesus asks of us. The world is very different from this, but we're not called to be like everybody else. We're called to be different, to act differently than the world does. That's what it means to be a Christian. So one of the things that I think is interesting about this is that Jesus phrases this question in a certain way. He says, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. So it seems like Jesus is talking about a personal fault here. Someone does something that offends me personally, hurts me. But then Jesus says, if he does not listen, so if he doesn't listen to me, I go to this person who's offended me, but he doesn't listen to me. Then Jesus says, take one or two others along with you. And if he refuses to listen to them, then tell the church. So it makes me think that even though what Jesus is talking about is certainly applicable to when someone commits a personal offense against me, I don't actually think that that's exactly what Jesus is talking about. I think he's talking about when we know that someone in the body of Christ, our brother or sister in Christ, this is, Jesus says, if your brother sins against you, well, he doesn't mean biological brother. He means your brother, sister in Christ, because that's what the early Christians called one another, brother, sister. Why? Because they believed they're part of a family. And it seems that Jesus is talking about not just when this person does something to me personally, but when I see my brother or sister struggling in sin. So we would call this fraternal correction. That's what we called it in the seminary. And we were supposed to practice it. So if I notice that my brother in the seminary did something wrong, I wasn't supposed to, like, talk to the other guys about it, nor was I supposed to go to the rector about it. But first I was supposed to go to that guy, me and him, and say, I noticed this. And if that doesn't work, then I bring along another guy. And if that doesn't work, we go to the rector. But not until we've gone personally and then with one or two others. So the times that I've been the recipient of fraternal correction, that's humbling. And it happens more often than you think. And it happens in different contexts. Usually in my life now, it's someone, one of my parishioners saying, you said this and it really bothered me. Or you did this and I was hurt by that. And I always thank them. It's humbling. It's humbling when someone comes to you and says, this hurt me when you did this, or this bothered me when you did this. But I'm grateful. I'm grateful for a couple of reasons. First of all, I'm grateful when someone comes to me directly and doesn't just go to Facebook or doesn't tell everybody else that they're upset with me about some reason without coming to me directly. So I'm grateful they're living this gospel. But what does it show when we go to this other person with concern? It shows that we care about them. I care enough about this other person that I don't just want to leave them in their error, but I want to help them. Why? Because I care for them. As you know, or as you may or may not know, as many of you know, we're going to be starting very soon our interior project in the church. And we have 7 panels across the ceiling, and then 7 squares in the middle, rectangles, and then thinner rectangles. And we decided, this is through prayer and consultation, and you can see these in the mock-ups in the gathering space. So on this side, we're having the 7 corporal works of mercy. So each of the corporal works of mercy will be in one of these rectangles. And then we'll have the image of a saint also that exemplifies that particular work of mercy. So corporal works of mercy here, those are when we help the kind of the physical needs of the person, feeding the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty, welcoming the stranger, visiting the sick, visiting the imprisoned, burying the dead. There's maybe one more I forgot. Over here, though, are the spiritual works of mercy. So they go together. We're not just bodies and we're not just souls. We're bodies and souls as human beings. So we have to serve the bodies of people, but also serve the souls of people. And what's the first spiritual work of mercy? It's admonish the sinner. Now, admonishing the sinner doesn't mean wagging your finger, but instead it means going to someone out of love and saying, I'm concerned about you. And it's a work of mercy. I love that. I mean, it's hard. It's hard to be the recipient. It's hard to do it. But the church says that this is a merciful act when we point out this, when we bring the sins of another person to them because we care. Now, what if we didn't do it? Well, do we care? Because what's often our attitude and the attitude of the world? That person's doing something wrong, that's wrong, their business, not my business. You know what that sounds like to me? And of course, I'm preaching to myself as long as everybody else, but you know what it sounds like? Very beginning of the Bible, Cain and Abel. Cain kills Abel. God goes to Cain, where's your brother? He says, am I my brother's keeper? Do I need to be concerned about my brother? I mean, clearly. So what Jesus is talking about here is what he wants his church to look like. Brothers, sisters, a family who care so much about one another that if we see another in material need, we work to meet their material need. And if we see someone in spiritual need, we work to meet their spiritual need. Which includes if we see someone struggling in their sin, struggling in their relationship with God, going to this person, I'm concerned about you. This can be a lot of ways. Maybe you know somebody is struggling with an addiction and you go to try to talk to them about it. Again, out of loving care and concern. This isn't a judgment against this person. It's a work of mercy towards this person because you're trying to help liberate them from this place of being stuck. So it could be, and how many times do we hear, well, so-and-so, I haven't seen them in church for years. I hear that comment all the time. Usually I don't know the person because I haven't been here very long. But has anybody said anything to that person? Or said, gosh, I just don't see you in church. Are you doing okay? Would you like to come with me? I mean, it's easy to talk about people, but why not do what Jesus says? And says, if you notice your brother's sin, go to him personally. So, is it challenging to live this gospel? Absolutely. But if we're the church that Jesus wants us to be, then we're each other's brothers and sisters. We're each other's keepers, responsible for the bodies and souls of each other. And when we see the other in need, out of mercy, we have to respond. We have to try to care for them and show them our concern. Let's ask the Lord today that our parish would look like the church that Jesus wants, which is so full of love and concern for each other that whatever the need we see in the other, we try to meet it. We try to go, not with judgment, but rather with loving concern for the other, seeing how we can help them, seeing how we can serve them, inviting them back to full communion in Jesus' church.